So yeah, people in the kitchen, could you please label everything on the covered dish? Because I don't want any Swedish fish dishes out there, you know, I don't know. Is there anyone from Sweden here that brought a covered dish? Just asking, you know, I... So as we count the Omer, in 4 days, we're going to be halfway through the counting of the Omer. In 4 days. Our counting, of course, is a total of 50 days. So in 4 days, we're going to be halfway through with day number 25. So this might be a good time to sort of connect God's commandment with the counting of the Omer with the events that Yeshua lived out and fulfilled to complete this picture. And he did very specific things during the counting of the Omer during his lifetime, during the time of the counting of the Omer after his Passover for the next, 40 of the 50 days. And so at that time of the Passover, Yeshua was resurrected 3 days after that event, which came on the day after the Shabbat, because Passover, the way it was that year. We have to remember that our calendars are Gregorian calendar and our Hebrew calendars, they don't match up all the time because the Jewish calendar is on a lunar calendar of 28-day months, and so they're never, you know, they're occasionally in sync, but usually they're not. So the Omer is counted starting on the day after the Shabbat within the week of the Passover or the week of unleavened bread, because we consider that 8 days as Passover and 7 days of unleavened bread. So the day after the Shabbat at or following the Passover. That's when we start counting. So again, you know, we have to realize here's the thing, that if this year our Passover was on Shabbat. It started Friday night. And so the next day, we are now into sync. We're at the same time synchronization as Yeshua had 2,000 years ago. And so the counting of the Omer this year is on Sunday, the day right after Passover. If Passover fell out on a Wednesday, we wouldn't start counting until that following Sunday, the day after the Shabbat during that week. Okay, and so Yeshua rose that day on the day of Bikurim, because it was the day of first fruits, and it was also the number one of the counting of the Omer that year. And so we had that same thing this year. For 40 days after his resurrection, during the counting, Yeshua appeared to his disciples. He appeared to hundreds of followers, and he even cooked and ate breakfast for his disciples. So I'm going to open up with a couple of scriptures here. The first set is John 20, verses 1 through 14. This is the first slide. But Miriam stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Yeshua had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing there, and she did not know that it was Yeshua. Okay, and now let's go to the next slide here. We'll continue. And then the same day, that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Pharisees, Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it on my side." So these were the areas where his hands and his side had been pierced. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to them, My Lord and my God. Yeshua said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. After these things, Yeshua showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. There's actually a blessing within this for each and every one of us, because we are part of those that believe and did not see. We were not there, and yet we believe on this account, and we believe in the death and resurrection of Yeshua. And so, again, this was on the first day of the counting of the Omer. The day after the Passover. Okay, and now, so now let's go to Shaul, what Shaul wrote in a few of his letters. Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Kepha, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. So what he's saying here is he probably had a wonderful opportunity to speak to or interview or talk to some of these 500, many of these 500 that were present when Yeshua was resurrected. But some have fallen asleep. Some of the 500 have died. They passed away. After that, he was seen by Yaakov, James, and then by all the apostles. And then, last of all, he was seen by me also, and by one born out of due time. And then in John 21:5, he said, And there are also many other things that Yeshua did, which they were written one by one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So what we're seeing here is not just some of the accounts by Shaul that he wrote to the Corinthians that said Yeshua did during those 40 days of the counting of the Omer after his resurrection, but John Yohanan tells us he did so many things, if we wrote them all down, they couldn't even be contained in books. These are all the wondrous things that we don't even know what happened. But we know that there were many because he said there were so many they couldn't be contained in books. So in those 40 days, Yeshua did a lot of stuff. Beside what we read about from Shaul, but also from what we see for Yohanan. So Yeshua ascended to heaven, and the disciples continued counting the Omer for the next 10 days. He did all these wonderful things in 40 days, and then he left them. And they were there, and they continued the counting for the next 10 days. Now, those 10 days must have really been a powerful 10 days. You can imagine, they witnessed something that we have not seen. They witnessed the resurrected Lord. They saw his hands and his feet and his side. They touched them. They put their fingers in those open wounds. They saw him do miracle upon miracle. They spoke to him those 40 days. And then he told them he would be leaving them. And then he would be returning in the same way. So imagine the unity that they had among them. Because whatever they had doubts, whatever they were not thinking of, whatever they disagreed with, there had to be some major unity that went on amongst the disciples at that point. Knowing that Yeshua had risen from the dead, it was confirming that all of the things that Yeshua told them would happen when he was still walking on the earth, it was confirming that everything was true about who he was. And notice that Thomas said, You are my Lord, you are my Messiah, and you are my God. He acknowledged him as being Yeshua and being God. And that's one of the reasons that you have perfect faith in believing this. So as we looked at our Torah portion last week, Shemini meaning eight, as we looked at it last week, we saw how God uses numbers and numbering of things to lay out his plan. And I talked for a few minutes about how significant the number eight is. Well, for 40 days, it says that Yeshua walked among us after his resurrection. And that is not by chance that he walked among us for 40 days. So just for a minute, I just want to go off a little bit here and talk about this number 40. Because the number 40 is mentioned 146 times in the scriptures. Because it is a very, very significant number. And it's usually symbolizing the period of testing or trial or probation. And I'm not talking about rabbinic numerology, so you get the wrong impression here. And I'm not talking about Kabbalah, all the rabbinic stuff where they tried to weave all this mysticism into it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's word. I'm talking about what God did. Not what man thinks is so special, but it's what God did and what he talks about in his word. The 40s were chosen by God, these numbers, by God himself. So I have just a couple of examples and then we'll go on. We have the first time at Mount Sinai, and then we have the second time at Mount Sinai. Moses went up, and then he went up the second time. And here we have from Exodus these accounts. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And then we read at the second time he went up to the mountain. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Then we have the accounts of the spies going into the land, and then the spies, God tells them that they were disobedient and what he's going to do with Israel. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 years. And then, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. So you see, this is why we were doomed to wander in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years, because the spies, most of them disobeyed the Lord. And so he said, for each year, for each day that you were in the land, I'm going to make you wander in the wilderness for a year, for each day, because you disobeyed me. And then the last one I'm going to use it as an example is Noah and the flood. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So these are very significant numbers. And like I said, they're symbolizing testing and trials and probation. God has always used them. And I'm not using other examples. And there are plenty of other examples. Like I said, it was mentioned 146 times in the scriptures. So let's move on now. So Yeshua tells the disciples that his father was going to send the Ruach after he comes back. Okay? So let's look at some scriptures here from John and Acts. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he lives with you, and he in you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And you heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So Yeshua really laid it all out. I'm going to be leaving you, but when I leave you, I'm going to bring on the Ruach, and the Ruach's going to be with you forever. Okay, so now let's go to the book of Acts. A couple of verses here. And he said to them, Yeshua said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is pretty important stuff that he's telling to his disciples. Now, we don't know if they knew when this was going to happen. We don't know if they knew that this was going to happen at the end of the counting of the Omer. They might have suspected that something miraculous and powerful was going to happen at the end of the counting of the Omer. They might have, they might not. So we don't really know. But you know that this must have been some big expectation, a great expectation that they had, because what Yeshua told them. Just the fact that he told them, you people are going to carry this message to the ends of the earth. Imagine if God spoke to you, or Messiah, you heard the Messiah speak to you or speak to your heart, and Messiah said to you, John, you're going to bring my message to the ends of the earth. Imagine the expectation that you know that somehow, in some way, God's going to use you to bring the message to the ends of the earth. And so this is what they were expecting. They knew that they would be not only being witnesses in all of Israel, but they somehow, and they didn't even understand this, that somehow they would be going out of the land of Israel. Maybe they never went out of the land of Israel before that, most of them. They would be going out of the land and they would be bringing the message of Yeshua and salvation to the very ends of the earth. And then we know this is really what happened. This is a great expectation. And so God promises so many things for us in our lives. And sometimes it's hard for us to even fathom that if we know that it's God, it's hard for us to really understand that it's going to happen someday. Even if we're not experiencing these things yet, it's hard for us to look into the future and know what God's promises he has for us. Are they true? Are they going to happen? So, you know, you've heard me say this before. You know, we need to be praising the Lord right now. Don't wait until the Lord does something miraculous in your life. Don't wait till the Lord heals you from a disease. Don't wait till the Lord gets you out of a shaky situation. Praise him right now. We should be praising the Lord for who he was and who he is and who he will be. What he did, what he does, and what he will do in the future. We need to praise him right now, expecting that God is going to do great things in our lives, in each and every one of our lives. And so, even if you're not experiencing them yet, Think of it as if you were in the days of the counting, of the 40 days of counting, and then Yeshua leaves the disciples, and there you are, and you got 10 days left to count. Well, you know what? It's like I said, it's a great day, a great time of those days to praise the Lord and be in prayer. And they knew that. It was a special, special time. And so they were, for those 10 days, we can only imagine, they were worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord for what they heard Yeshua do, but in expectation, because they hadn't seen the things yet happen. That's what we need to do. We need to put ourselves in that position, because those disciples are not any different from you and me. They were fishermen. They were merchants. They were tax collectors. They were regular people. Some of them were street sweepers. They did all kinds. They were bakers. They were whatever. They were farmers. They were all kinds of things. And so we need to be able to relate to them to see. We also need to be in expectation of what God, we know, will do for us, especially if it's according to His word, the expectation of these things. So here are a few things that I want to leave you with this morning. Some of the promises by God, just a few of them, to get our juices flowing a little bit more here. He is going to provide for you for your daily needs. Let's look at the book of Matthew. You can clap if you want to, because He's going to do it. See, you can even clap before I read the word, because that's, right? This is the future. Now we're in the future. That was the future of what was going to happen 5 seconds later. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the days in its own trouble. In other words, tomorrow has its own problems. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just think about what's happening today, and think about that God promises that don't worry about all these things, because God is going to supply you with your needs. Now, His word doesn't say, and I'm going to supply you with a Mercedes-Benz, and I'm going to give you a Gucci bag. He didn't say that. But what He says is, I'm going to supply your daily needs. What you need is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to make sure that you are never without what you need in your life. Not what you want in your life, but what you need in your life. So He's going to provide you with daily needs. All right, He will provide you with the way out of temptation. And this is really very important here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. No temptation has overtaken you except such as it's common to man. In other words, we always think, oh my God, no one has ever had this happen to me. I mean, man, look at what's going to me. Look at these temptations of me. Who could understand? Listen, they've happened to common man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will never give us anything that we cannot fight. He will never give us a temptation that is so great that we can't handle it, especially with God on our side. So we need to understand that no matter how great we think that temptation is, He's telling you, you can overcome it. You can resist it. It's not such a great temptation that you can't. I'm not saying that. That's what God says. He will never give that temptation in front of you that you cannot handle it. It won't be the easiest thing. You may have to be crawling out of a pit with your hands. But what God is saying is, you'll be able to get out of that pit. God says He's going to give us spiritual strength. Ephesians, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations. For you which is your glory, that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He's going to give us, and this is what's going to, listen, this is what's going to help him with what we just read before. It's because of, through the Ruach in us, it is a supernatural strength. God is supernatural. The Ruach is supernatural. Yeshua is supernatural. Supernatural not in a sci-fi kind of way, but supernatural because he goes beyond the natural. And so the Ruach gives us a spiritual strength that other people do not have. His promises. His promises, one day that we will be with him. Hallelujah. John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And we can't, like I said the other week, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But if you notice, he doesn't say, in my Father's house, there are many shacks. So there are many mansions. We're going to be, you know, it may not be a mansion the way we think a mansion is today, but it's going to be a mansion when we get there. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful place for each and every one of us. So he's promising us. He is promising us that he will be with us and we will be with him and we will live with him and we will have a place with him. And this is what he's promising us. These are just a couple of the promises. I didn't want to go on and on and on, but I think you get the idea this morning. And these are things in the future for us. But let's be expecting. Beyond expecting, because these are promises made by God. Our future is promised by God himself. We know what's going to happen at the end. The end is only a beginning. We talk about the end here on earth. We talk about when someone passes on, when passes away, when we miss them, when we lose them. But that's not an end. If they have Messiah in their life, it's only a beginning. Here's the thing. Man is made to be eternal. Everyone on this earth is made to be eternal. Their soul will be eternal. But the key is, where will the eternity be? And God promises, if we have accepted Yeshua, if we have a blood sacrifice, we spend eternity with God. And it's a promise. So we are all eternal. But some of us want to be in the right place through eternity. This is our future. This is our end and our beginning. And we are counting. So let's be counting for the rest of our days, now 3/4 of the counting of the Omer, and let's do it with worship and praise and thanksgiving, because God has a wonderful, wonderful future for each and every one of us, but for each and every one of the people that would come and accept their God and Messiah in the proper way. And there will be a blessing for all of those. He wants all men to accept him. He wants all men to accept his son. It's not a clique. It's not a select group that we look at everyone else, because we know God wants it to be that as many would come in can come in. And so this is our future. Let's keep counting. Let's keep showing the blessings to God and praising the Lord. And we'll end it up at our counting of the 50 days with our, we'll do the mikvahs for those that have through this year have come to accept Yeshua, and we'll have this wonderful spiritual a physical cleansing, which will really be in preparation for this wonderful spiritual cleansing that God does to people's hearts and very lives through that blood, the blood atonement. And so let's keep counting, and Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Praise you, Lord.